numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, live from Bar Canada Air. The D, what's happening, man?
Oh, nothing much. This was
working on your mic there.
Did you catch that?
By the way, let me close this up. What's happening there with my shirt?
Hey, Sorry about that, ladies. There was a party at this table last night, so I had to thoroughly wipe it down this morning.
Oh, really?
And the crew might have as well. Sorry, I'm sure they helped as well. But I wiped down my area and then put the headset down in it, and right as I put it on, I realized the microphone was disgustingly wet.
Oh, that is a disgusting way to start this program, ladies and gentlemen. On the show today, Chris Velika, the Bear. He's got thoughts on Euro Cup 2024. He's out in L.A., by the way, for like the next 5 or 6 weeks, talking about international soccer tournaments. So
nice
life for the Bear, Chris Velika. He'll join us here in about a half hour.
He's been busy the past couple weeks. Belmont? Now he's got to go in studio to do soccer?
Listen, we don't want him to get out of bed to earn his money, but for 5 weeks, I think we're okay. John Legesa will join us, talk baseball with us, his baseball bets of the day, a little instant offense from Legesa. Matt Lindemann will join us to talk College World Series. I ran into Matt a few months ago. Walking outside, you ran into him as well.
Yeah, I just ran into him a few weeks ago.
Assistant Director of Trading at the Wynn. He's a big College World Series fan, so he's got thoughts on that. Our own Stormy Bonatoni on the UFL Championship game this week.
Let's go. Let's go, Brahmas.
Birmingham against San Antone. Birmingham's only lost once this year. You know who they lost to? The Brahmas. And that is their championship. Drama in the UFL. Stormy will be here to talk about that with us. Also, I'll talk to her about hockey.
Yeah.
Because that appears to be over as well.
Yeah.
Panthers up 3-0 now after the 4-3 win over the Oilers yesterday. And Jason Weingarten. Everybody's on the show. Want to start, obviously, with the NBA. Because you might have noticed this about my sort of thoughts on this series. And I keep citing the stat about these NBA playoffs where the losing team in these best of seven series in the entire breadth of the NBA playoffs, Eastern and Western Conference, all of it, has won an average of 1.2 games. That's how uncompetitive this NBA playoffs has been. And as a matter of fact, when you distill it to the two conference tournaments and the NBA finals, if the Celtics win tonight, Kelly, we could have a 12-1 situation, historical situation in conference finals and the NBA finals. It would be 4-0, 4-1, because remember the T-Wolves got one game off the Mavericks, and if the Celtics close it out tonight, it would be 4-0. So 12-1, that would be historical. It has never happened before. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. And quite frankly, and I know we're a betting network and I know we're a betting show, but if there was ever a time in the sports betting calendar where I would not recommend you betting something. Not to say you can't bet it and win, and if you do, good for you. But game four of an NBA finals like tonight's would be that moment where I would say, you should probably stay away from this. I was sitting with Carl Sack yesterday, which we'll get to momentarily. Carl Sack, some folks know as NBA guru. He and I worked with Dr. Bob for many years. The best NBA handicapper I've ever observed historically. Just incredible. And even he yesterday was like, yeah, because you just don't. The bottom line is you cannot, there's no way for you to know if the Mavericks are going to be motivated to avoid a sweep or if they're just going to lie like the choking dogs that they've been.
I think you said it well. And we so rarely go into like the mental side in games like this, but I think it's so hard to assume one way or the other with a team in a situation like this, especially a team that's so, that is so dominated by their stars, right? Like if Luka or Kyrie decides that they're giving up or they're giving 110% tonight, like that's a big difference in the game.
Yeah.
So, just like I said in Game 3, Gil, I mean, the only side I could imagine possibly being on tonight would be the Boston Celtics. It still would. Hey, even the Mavericks, when they've been giving their best shot, are nowhere close to as good as what this team has been. So,
well, I do have two observations, one of which is a betting one and one of which is not. Let's start with the one that's not, and that is I've been bringing up the Celtics for lack of a feel here, certainly as this series has moved on. I've been bringing up the Celtics in a historical perspective, and I brought it up with Drew Dinsick a couple days ago, you may recall, and I asked him, I said, look, these Celtics, have the possibility of going here. If they win tonight, 80-20 when you put the regular season and the playoffs together. If they lose tonight and they win in the gentleman sweep, 80-21, whatever the case. Where do you feel that puts them in historical perspective? And his line was, on paper, they're a super team, he said. Mm-hmm. He added, I don't know that they'll be an all-time great, but they are a super team. And I quipped, because I like to quip, Kelly. I don't know if you know that. On the way out, I said, really? Because I think, not that this was an argument, because he said, I don't know if they'll be a super team, because I said, in my mind's eye, like, there's a bunch of Warriors teams that would have crushed this team. That was my thought on the way out.
Yeah.
And so I said to Carl yesterday, because Carl wanted no part of Game 4, I was like, could you do a little bit of analysis on this stuff? So now he said, like, if you really wanted to do the analysis, and this is Carl Sack talking, and he knows his stuff. If you really wanted to do the analysis, what he was saying was, and I'll read it verbatim, you would basically have to say, you'd have to dive into, you know, as a first pass, this is just a first pass, is just going to wins, win percentage, and points per game differential. But if you really wanted to get into it, like, you'd have to really break down, you know, the rate of points, adjust for schedule. Like, you'd have to do a deeper dive. But just for our purposes here, let's just talk about records and win, you know, wins, win percentage, and points per game differential. And so, where does this Celtics team rank? And so what we did is we did the last 20 NBA champions. We went back 20 years. Last 20 NBA champions. And I threw in, because I'm just trying to muddy the waters, I threw in the 73-9 record-setting regular season Warriors team that lost the NBA championship to the Cavaliers in 7 back in 2015, 2016. So when you do those 21 teams, that historical analysis, it is that Warriors team that lost the championship that had the most wins, 88-18 combined. That's the most wins, 88 in the season, regular season plus the playoffs. This is the second best win percentage of any team in the last 20 years, 83%, and they were fourth in points per game differential, otherwise known as average margin of victory, 9.31 points per game. Okay, that was the 73-9 lost the championship to the Cavs, Warriors.
Can I add one more thing onto that
Please.
Season? Which is,
yes.
This was fascinating because I pulled up just historical net rating here on teams in best finishes. You know that Warriors team? You know the Spurs that year had a better net rating than them?
So you jumped ahead where I was going to go because I was going to mention that Spurs team. Because that Spurs team you're talking about, actually from a points per game differential, average margin of victory, they actually ranked in this. They actually polluted this as well. In that one category, they ended up as... the 67-win Spurs from that same year that lost in round 2 to OKC. Remember that OKC team that then went up 3-1 on the Warriors, and the Warriors came back and beat them. They had a 10.47 differential in points. So they would have actually finished third in the last 20 years in terms of points differential. But in terms of champions and the 73-9 Warriors of that one year, so that team... first in wins, second in win percentage, fourth in points per game differential. The next year's Warriors, that team that went 16-1 in the postseason, and the South Point actually put up a prop, will they go 16-0? The just ridiculously dominant 2016-2017 Warriors, they went 83-16 combined, second in total wins, tied for second in total wins, first in win percentage. Nobody has ever put together in the last 20 years a season like 83-16. That's just unbelievable. And they were first in points per game differential, 11.96. So in many ways, as great as that 73-9 team was, it was the year after. That Warriors team the year after that is clearly, I think, the best team in the last 20 years. The 2014-15 Warriors, if I just may add this was one that predated KD, the one where Dr. Bob had them at like 40-1. People didn't get how great they were yet. They were second, tied for second in amount of wins. They were 83-20, tied for the most wins in the last 20 years, second, tied for second, third in win percentage, third in points per game differential. So all three of those Warriors team are at the top of those Warriors teams. These Celtics, who are currently 79-20, just for perspective now, last 20 years plus the 21st team, the 73-9 Warriors, they're seventh in wins, 79. They're fourth in win percentage, 79.8%, 79-20. And here's where they really do rank. Second in points per game differential. Second in average margin of victory. 11.14. Only those 2016-17 Warriors top them. So that's some perspective on where this Celtics team ranks. And yes, they did catch the royal flush of injuries in the Eastern Conference playoffs. That obviously helped this along. But are they... So what does that mean? Let's be generous. Let's say they're the fourth best team in the last 20 years. If we're being super generous, that's as high as you can really rank them. If we went back 30 years, Kelly, then you would have to add in the 95-96 Bulls and the 96-97 Bulls of Jordan.
Who are 1-2 everything you look at.
Yeah, because the 95-96 Bulls were 72-10 in the regular season. They ended up 87%. They ended up 87-13. So they'd have the second most wins, the highest winning percentage, and the most, number one in points per game differential, 12.24. The year after that, when they were a lowly 69-13, they still ended up 84-17 with an 83.2 percentage win percentage in the title and 10.80 points per game differential. So if you went back 30 years, you'd have to add those two teams in. Now, detractors will say, and you can't really detract from Michael Jordan, but detractors, at least in that terms of historical context, would say there was a lot of expansion in the NBA just before that, so they had an easier road that way. So anyway, that's where the Celtics rank, about fourth, generously, if they can close it out tonight in the last 20 years, or if they can close it out in Game 5, and then a little further down if you went back 30 years. So I think Drew's right. Super team, but, like, you know, not historically great. We can name three Dubs teams in the last, you know, recent history that are better by any sort of measure. We'll come back. What about NBA MVP, Finals MVP? We can bet that next. Game brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Check it out at Zyn.com. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, you can upgrade to a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. And here is the big news. Our NFL betting guide is coming out later this month. It's got your ultimate resource for the football season, packed with details, team, division, and conference analyses, and of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. Don't miss out on this limited time deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG to claim your discount bonus month. That's VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG as in a numbers game.
See what I did to you there? I faked you out. Nice job, Kelly. Speaking of the NFL, the biggest news in the NFL yesterday, lest we let that slip by the wayside, is, of course, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence being signed to an extension by the Jacksonville Jaguars, the details of which, of course, are always eye-opening when it's with a quarterback in the NFL. And we have said on this show many, many times, well, this is the cruelty of the economics of the NFL, because the Jaguars at some point knew that they'd have to make a decision on Trevor Lawrence, and so they signed him to a five-year, $275 million contract extension. Adam Schefter, the first to report that yesterday. The contract, Kelly, includes $200 million guaranteed, including $142 million at signing. That just shows up in one check? Is that how that works? They wire that in?
Oh, yeah. There's the – well, I always wonder about the guaranteed money, too. Because, yes, you get the signing bonus and then the guaranteed. Like, if it's guaranteed, can I just get it all up front?
No. Guaranteed, I think, is prorated. But the signing bonus is right up top, I believe.
Either way, it's a sweet day.
But this is, you know, how many times have we said on this show, you can only win an NFL championship, you can only win a Super Bowl if you have a quarterback on a rookie deal that's overperforming and you can pay everybody else because he's capped, or a Hall of Famer. In the middle, there's the Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff's of the world, and yes, time will tell if any of these guys will get there, but Kirk Cousins's, if you will, of the world, where they're good quarterbacks, maybe even very good, but are they great? And it's beyond the rookie deal. But they get to a point in their career after the rookie deal where the team that has them is forced to make this massive economic decision. Like, are we going to sign this guy for, again, here, $275 million? Or are we going to go a different direction? And these teams, they're almost forced to do this because what are they going to do? What's the alternative, right? But here, is, and this is courtesy of everybody's favorite Twitter feed, Kelly, Ghetto Gronk. This is Trevor Lawrence's first 50 games compared to Daniel Jones's first 50 games. Now, think about, before we get into it, think about how you perceive Daniel Jones, or the mainstream media perceives Daniel Jones, and then think of how the mainstream media or you perceive of Trevor Lawrence. I think you will agree that no matter what you feel of Trevor Lawrence, it's a better thought than you have of Daniel Jones. Well, look at that. First 50 games. Now, Daniel Jones has played 60 now, but first 50 games, which is exactly how many Trevor has played, he's 20 of 30, win-loss record. Daniel Jones, 19-30-1, almost the exact same thing. Rating, actually, Daniel Jones is better, 86-85. Total yards, Trevor Lawrence has him beat by less than 300. Passing touchdowns, Trevor Lawrence 58, Daniel Jones 57. Picks, actually, Daniel Jones has fewer, 33 to Trevor Lawrence's 39. Yards per attempt, it's dead even at 6.7. Completion percentage, dead even at 63%. I think you get it, that these decisions are rife with pitfalls, man, and that they might just have signed the equivalent of Daniel Jones. I know that you probably, I'm not saying that Daniel Jones is as good. I'm with you. Trevor Lawrence is better. But if you just look at those raw numbers,
We're going off numbers
and numbers.
It's going to go back to a tweet we just got from Rich, too, over what we talked about last segment. But numbers are – you can't argue against the numbers.
Like, they don't lie.
They don't lie, man. Like, yep. That's the case. And you hit on the big point of, like, I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want to get in a stupid argument over Trevor Lawrence's stupid face today. But the these teams, right? Like, what are they supposed to do? Like you
what
said, like, you got
to
give them the money.
I was the one, though, with the Rams where I said – they should be the first team to start. Like, Jared Goff, this was great. Nice run. We're starting over.
Okay. I was going to bring this up because there's two decisions there, right? That's one, which you want to applaud them for. But I also feel like we all loved Matthew Stafford. I don't think any of us thought, though, there's like an all-time great quarterback sitting in Detroit that if you just went and swapped quarterbacks, you're going to you're winning a Super Bowl right away, right? Like, is that fair?
No, I'm just pointing out that this is the cruelty of NFL economics.
It is. It's all cruel. Yep.
Because what are you going to do?
Every one of these days where another one of these stories comes down, it is like, I don't want to turn into ESPN here, but you're like, what are the Cowboys doing? Like, what are you doing?
Well, first of all, what are they doing? Showing a Dak segment every – ESPN has now admitted that the more they talk about the Cowboys, they're like, guess what? You guys watch. Well, I think you have a little something to do with that. Maybe change it up and see if you can change behavior. I mean,
they still got to pay Dak, CeeDee Lamb, bro, and Micah Parsons, right? Like, what is this going to be a utter disaster that
we
see?
Don't worry, Kelly. Jerry's got it all figured out.
What was his line to? He's going to be really aggressive this offseason or something like that?
Yeah.
We haven't seen any of that.
All right. Back to the NBA for a second. Real quick before we get off the historical thing, because I want to talk finals MVP.
Yeah, I've still got final thoughts, too.
Net rating.
Final thoughts on that.
What were your net ratings historical? Net rating
Yeah,
numbers?
And that is points, you know, points per 100 possessions, what you score, subtract what you give up on the defensive side. So all time, where net rating ranks out, you have the 95-96 Bulls, the 96-97 Bulls, and then you have a tie for third with the 16-17 Warriors and this Boston Celtics team.
Okay, so for net rating, this year's Celtics team actually does get a little higher. And as Carl Sack said, and thanks to Carl for those earlier stats, he would start with play per efficiency since pace has dramatically increased.
Sure.
That's the big difference in the league, right?
Yep.
Three-point shooting and pace, and then maybe try to adjust for strength of schedule. But this, anyway, the ones that we did was a first pass at it. Okay.
Rich's tweet here real quick. He said, you overrated these Celtics. Would you take them over the 2023 Nuggets? ? There's an average. They're an average champion, and they'd lose 4-2. You're blinded by incredibly poor opponents. Numbers are numbers, man. Like
he's saying I'm blinded by it?
Yeah, he's tweeting at both of us. I don't know.
Well, no, I'm the one who's saying that this Celtics team does not rank as an all-time great.
Yeah, I think that's where this discussion about this Celtics team does become tough, because I don't think there's a lot of people that would say that they feel like they belong with a lot of these other teams that we're talking about, and I agree.
Here's they benefited from a royal flush of injuries on the other side in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls, as great as they were, benefited from expansion. You can't say any of that about those Warriors teams. I'm just saying, they're top of the heap.
The playoffs was one thing, though. There was nothing easy about what they did in the regular season.
No, 100%. You know? And they're not to blame for who they play, right?
Yeah.
So you got to give them that. All right. NBA Finals MVP, I just want to bring this up. What kind of favorite is Jaylen Brown right now in this market, Kelly? Like, he is minus 280. Jaylen Brown minus 280. Jason Tatum is plus 250. Everybody else, starting with Luka, is 22-1. Even our Drew Holiday, who had that great game too, he's 75-1, by the way. Thank you, Nevada Gaming, for not putting up that market. I just want to make the point that while I think Jaylen Brown could be favorite here and probably is a justified small favorite, I think minus 280 is outrageous. And I think Jason Tatum at plus 250 might actually be live. Let me just throw up the numbers from games 1, 2, and 3, and then the collective shooting percentages of this. So game 1, Jaylen Brown, I'll read it from the old computer here as we get it ready here. Game 1, Brown, 22-6 and 22-6 and 2, I believe he was. I'll check on that assists. Three blocks, three steals. Great game for Jaylen Brown in game one of this series where the Celtics blew out the Mavs. 22-6 and 2 with three blocks, three steals. Tatum was 16-11 and 5 in that game with six turnovers. Advantage Brown. Okay. Game two, Jaylen Brown, 21-4 and 7. We're talking points, rebounds, and assists. But he had six turnovers along with three steals. Tatum in that game, 18-9 and 12. Was a board away from a triple-double. I'm going to say advantage Tatum. Six turnovers for Brown, one rebound shy of a triple-double. Game three, Brown 38-8, Tatum 31-6-5. Triple-double stats. All right, so Brown was two boards and two assists shy of messing around to get a triple-double. Now, that's kind of a wash in that one. Here's the differentiator. Is Brown's efficiency shooting for the collective three games. Brown is 27 of 49, 35.53%. Tatum is a much more woeful 23 of 64, 26.44% for all three games. If people were voting NBA Finals MVP on shooting percentage and efficiency, Brown is definitely minus 280. But Kelly, I don't think they're voting on that. I think they're voting on the more simple stats. And if they're voting on the more simple stats, Brown shouldn't be anywhere close to minus 280 in my opinion. You?
He should definitely be the favorite. Shouldn't be favorite that much. Yeah.
You think he could be favored that much?
Yeah. No, I think you could argue that he shouldn't be favored this much. He should definitely be favored, though. I think he agree most
a slight,
likely.
I agree a slight favorite. I would make him a slight favorite based on the shooting efficiency. But minus 280? Tatum at plus 250? I don't know. I think that might be live. Coming back with Chris Velik on Soccer Next. Alexander Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, shame on me. I've gone a half hour without updating the U.S. Open leaderboard. Over there at Pinehurst, Patrick Cantlay, who has not started his second round yet, he is the leader, 5 under heading into today after his round of 65 yesterday. One stroke lead over Ludvig Åberg, who also has not started his round. He shot a 66 yesterday, a 4 under 66. As far as today's performances, well, the course is winning. I think that's the early return anyway. Rory, 2 over for the day through 10, so he is 2 shots back now at 3 under for the tournament. Some other names on the leaderboard, Bryson DeChambeau, 2 back at 3 under. He is even halfway through his round today. 3 back at 2 under, Tony Finau, 4 back at 1 under among that group, Xander Schauffele. The always steady Xander Schauffele, Kelly. And then Koepka, who hasn't started his round, he ended up even yesterday, and Scotty Scheffler. Can't talk about this leaderboard without mentioning him. He is now 2 over for the day through 10, 3 over for the tournament. So he is a full 8 strokes back and flirting perhaps with the cut line when all is said and done. Did anybody have Cantlay, Kelly? Anybody?
Not that I heard.
Okay.
Not that I heard. Just for my historical golf betting, though, this would be right on if it was Cantlay Hatton 1-2.
What happens if it's Cantlay Hatton? What do you do to yourself? Do you harm yourself?
No, not that guy. Don't worry. Don't got to worry about that.
Don't do that. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Velika is here. He is the Bear. He is doing his stuff at Fox Sports these days. He's got the Bear Bets pod, and he's out in L.A. for the next, I don't know, month and a half, just chilling, doing soccer, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. They just decided to empty the dumpster out back, so if you hear a little truck and a little noise and a little little banging around. That's what's going on out there. That's great. That's so beautiful. I just open up the slider, sleep with the windows open. Oh, it was great. But I had Cantley to miss the cut. That's it. I picked Dornick to finish last in the Belmont, and I put him right in the winner's circle. So I have that effect on people. But it's kind of crazy. Like, the thought process for today was that the early wave would kind of have a little bit of an edge over the later wave, because it's supposed to get super hot, and they think that course is just going to dry out and be super tough in the afternoon. But so far, the morning scores haven't necessarily been great. I think Thomas Detry, I think, is 3-under on the day, and I think there might be a couple other 2 or 3-unders on the day. But look, doesn't look like there's going to be much of an edge, if any, unless the afternoon is brutally tough.
Yeah, where they got you, the Beverly Wilshire, the Beverly Hills Hotel.
I am at the Cameo, which used to be Mr. C. It's right around the corner of Pico and Beverly.
Ah, Pico and Beverly, not quite as sexy, but cool nonetheless. Okay. Euro Cup 2024. You are, now we've talked about this. You've been on this show, and literally, like, one day we counted. You have talked about, we've had bets from you on 10 or 11 different sports. And horse racing, when I've asked you the question, like, if you could only have one for the rest of time, horse racing has always been your answer. Is soccer number two for you?
It might be. I just love the variety in soccer, and while getting involved with unders and penalties and extra time goals can kind of screw with you and put you in a bad place. But I love soccer betting. So hopefully the next 5 weeks or so will be fun.
Well, let's start with outrights in Euro Cup 2024. What do you like? Who do you like? What side do you like to win it all, or what bets would you make?
I think France is the best team, but I'm a little like Kylian Mbappe is injured. He hasn't been training. Tchouaméni, one of the key midfielders, he's hurt. Like, they are the deepest team and the best team, but their makeup and their injuries have me a little bit concerned. I think Portugal might be worth a flyer at a bit of a price. They've got a ton of talent, and even Spain, like that cut below. Like, you've got the France, England, Germany, but those next two teams, Spain and Portugal, if you're looking to potentially take a chance there. Those teams might be worth a shot.
How about prop bets, group by group? Anything there?
Yeah, I played some tournament long props. Like if you're looking for, like, if you're just looking for a team to win a group and you don't care about like laying a number, Portugal to win their group, I think was like right around -245 or so. Like, they should win their group very easy. It's a very weak group. But again, it's just your appetite. Do you care about laying 240 or not? But some of the tournament long stuff like that, like Golden Boot and most outstanding player and most goals and stuff like that, I found a couple of longer prices there that I took a shot with. I played Rodri, the Spanish midfielder. They'll be the most outstanding player in the tournament, 30-1. Like I just mentioned, how Spain, I think, is 8-1 to win the tournament. If Spain wins the tournament, there's a really, really, really good chance that Rodri is going to be named most outstanding player, because Spain really does not have a legitimate, like, proven goal scorer up front. Now, they have a couple of young guys, Nico Williams and Yamal Amin, who I think I said his name properly, who could be that, but they're going to have to show it for the first time on an international stage to do it. And Rodri's so good in the midfield, everything kind of goes through him. 30-1, I thought, was a good price on a team that can win, and you're getting almost four times the price on what you would get on Spain to win the tournament. Serbia to allow the most goals in the tournament at 16-1, I think that's a pretty live bet for multiple reasons. Number one, in this group, there's a chance they potentially could get through as a third-place team, maybe, and get that fourth game in the round of 16. But they also draw England in their first match. And England, coming off of that loss to Iceland in the friendly, they are going to be out to put up a big number and kind of calm everybody down at home, get their confidence back. So it would not surprise me to see England put up four in their first match on Sunday against Serbia. This is a team that's really, really bad on defense. They've got a couple of goal scorers up front, But you've got Denmark in there. You've got Slovenia, who I mentioned, who I heard Paul Carr mention yesterday about Benjamin Sesko, who can score. The Serbia to allow the most goals, plus 1,600 was something. And I played Ukraine's Artem Dobik to win Golden Boot at 47-1. He's someone who played for Girona in La Liga this year. He led La Liga in goals. You're in a group here with Romania, who's one of the bottom feeders of the tournament. Belgium, who has great firepower, but defensively they're weak. And Slovakia, who will allow some goals. So Ukraine is a team that I think can get through to the round of 16, maybe potentially the quarterfinal. And if he could put up some goals in the group stage, maybe get a couple against Romania, you might be live at 47-1, especially if indeed Mbappe maybe doesn't play a group stage game and it's a little slow in getting going.
Okay, let me repeat those, Chris, not because I didn't get them, but because people are, you know, obviously the American sports fan is not necessarily, soccer is not necessarily second nature. So Serbia to allow the most goals in this tournament, 16-1. Mm-hmm. Rudiger, who's on.
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet. That's a separate match for today.
Okay, we haven't gotten to Rudiger yet. Rodri, most outstanding player, 30-1. He is on Spain's side, Rodri.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Dobrik, have we gotten to Dobrik? Yes. Golden Boot.
Dobvyk.
Dobvyk. He's Ukrainian, yes. On a Ukraine, yep, side, for the Golden Boot at 47-1. Now, as far as today's, go ahead with your thoughts on Rudiger.
Yeah, first match for today, Germany against Scotland. It should probably be a pretty defensive-minded game. I think Scotland will try and just defend and keep this low scoring. But I'm not as high on Germany as a lot of people are. I think it's more of just, oh, they're home, they've overhauled their roster, so of course they're going to go out and make a deep run. But I don't see like the ruthless scorer like Germany has had up front in the past. Maybe Havertz will turn into that. I still think they have a couple of holes. But today, I played Antonio Rudiger, the defensive back. Defender. I have my mind on American football all of a sudden, but Antonio Rudiger, you have at least one shot at minus 125, and you can play a little one shot on goal at plus 300. He's really good in the air. Germany should have a million corner kicks, and odds are he can get his head on one of them and maybe hopefully put it on target.
Next week, a Heisman long shot from you?
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see. How's that for a maybe tease? Maybe. We'll see.
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy your time in L.A.
Take care, guys.
Chris Felica, everybody. John Legace on the other side. Instant Offense on Major League Baseball next. We are this close to crowning an NBA champion with the action heating up on the court. It's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN, that's code VSIN for new customers, to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. When VSIN gets done and people can subscribe to that. Some of the rabbit holes we go down on here off air.
I'm rethinking every carnival game ever created now based off of that off air conversation.
Somehow we got into Battle of the Network Stars, and then like we were talking about the dunk tank. Like, who was the human being, right, who conceived of this? I got it.
Like, was that the guy who's like running around every pool party pushing people into the pool?
He must have been.
They're like, I need a better way to take advantage of this.
We'll put a celebrity on a seat. Preferably a girl, if he's, you know, what he was going for. And then if they hit, the thing falls, and they fall in the water, it's a hole.
The best part about the dunk tank is nobody's ever escaped it dry. Like, even if you're at a fair and, like, there's been 200 kids that have thrown 1,000 baseballs at it, like, they still dunk the guy every time.
This man is a fan of the dunk tank as well. He comes to us from, I don't know, right out of the outfield seats at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, right out of Central Casting. It's our buddy John Legace, everybody, truly the host of the Cork Stats Podcast, MLB and NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at John Lagheza. That's how you spell Legheza, L-A-G-H-E-Z-Z-A, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Johnny?
Love it, man. Feature the bleacher creature. All right. Yeah, John Legace, check it out on Twitter and on you. I think you're part of it. You helped me make me a best-selling Substack author.
Oh,
back tip to you, mate.
Nice. I'm glad we did that.
Well, you're known needle mover.
Let me just ask you this before we get to your three picks here.
Ask away.
I want to say this. The Yankees, since I brought them up, just, I mean, I know they lost yesterday, and I know they lost in dramatic fashion in the ninth to the Royals. But as a Yankee guy, how excited are you about this team right now?
And you know me, right? I'm very reasoned. One of my favorite clips ever was me just having a on-air conniption, lambasting the front office when they shipped Jordan Montgomery for Bader, right? So I try and be very fair. We talked about how unhealthy they were. The pendulum seemed to have swung. I know Cole has been out, but other than that, they've been really healthy. Juan Soto gave us a scare, and he's back. He's like world-beating, playing for, I don't know, you figure this guy is going to break another contract record. So, yes, it's really exciting, but it's also really early. I only have to look back a few years, the Phillies World Series, and a few before that with Soto, the Nationals World Series. Both of those teams were discarded in August, not even the All-Star break. It give people an idea of, with the new format, extra teams getting in, from the middle of August, if you run really hot in those 6 weeks, you're going to get in the dance, and then whoever's healthy in the short set gets the crown. So I'm happy. I think the Yankees are pacing really well, but we're really far from the end. And, you know, the Rays are, I think, better than people give them credit for. Boston, I think, having brought in Kyle Boddy, the pitching is kind of speaking for itself. So it's not going to be a cakewalk. I'm happy, but there's a long way to go.
World Series title or bust, or get to the World Series or bust?
You know, I'm that guy, the day after they used to get eliminated, I'd wear all my Yankee stuff and be the type to thank them for a good season.
Okay.
But you want them to win it. Yeah, I believe it or not. But, well, I got to be different. While everyone is booing and hissing, you know, I mean, these guys go out and break their back for you, and sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. It'd be nice for them to bring it all the way home, because I think, especially with Soto, it's very much a win now. Louis Hill, who's been phenomenal. I don't know if he's ever thrown more than, like, 60 innings in a year. You got to get what you can get right now. So I'm hoping that they add, again, I don't think they need to add the world, but never hurts to bring in a bullpen guy. Maybe it wouldn't hurt to, I don't know, just solidify the bench a little bit. If they ran a little more, it would help. So I'm more of the Yankee pessimist, but it's definitely exciting. But to be honest, do you think they're better than the Orioles? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. John is the guy who, even when they get eliminated, stands up and applauds the team for giving them a great season. Our buddy Todd Wright, when the Golden Knights sent an email thanking the fans after they got eliminated for a great season, he wrote an angry email back saying, stop with this nonsense, with thanking the fans. So there's all different types. All right, John, you got three plays, starting with the Padres. What do you got with them today?
All right, this one is the one that I definitely like the most. There's a lot of meat on this bone. It's an F5 play, so let's go with the Padres. I was going to say to the beautiful weather. They're leaving the beautiful weather. We're going to Queens to face the Let's Go Mets go. Matty Waldron's on the bump with this really interesting knuckleball. What I like about him is it's not all knuckleball, right? We've seen the R.A. Dickey and the Wakefield stuff where you could be very erratic start to start. Because it's only a piece of the arsenal, if you don't have it, you can go away from it. And when it works, he hyper-features it. So we've seen that lately. I don't think he's given up two runs across the last three starts total. And you kind of know what you're getting, right? You're not going to get a lot of swing and miss. You're not going to get a lot of strikeouts, but the ball's going to be on the ground, and you're looking at a lot of weak contact. You're looking at a lot of double plays. And I think that's kind of the center of the play right here, the Mets. One of the things that I do with my Substack page is it's really important to split offenses. In particular, if we're looking at five-inning bets, because it really then is truly isolated to the real expectation of five innings from a starter. Mets are a totally different team. Jekyll and Hyde, whichever is a good one, I can never remember. Mets versus righties are just horrific. Just horrific. The last 200 plate appearances against righties as a team, a .215 batting average, only 3 home runs. That's a .590 OPS and a sub 100 ISO. That's not going to get it done. Dead last in line drive, bottom 5 in all the X stats. So I think Waldron is going to push the Mets around. And on the other side, I think we have a really good matchup. Manaea's been a bit over his skis, and I think that probably corrects. Today, he's got the 4.3 ERA, 1.35 whip, but all the indicators are a bit worse, and the swing and miss stuff for him really disappeared. He's falling behind everybody. 57 first strike, really not viable, especially when you're up against a strong split, right? The second piece of this kind of triple beam balance here. Padres raking against lefties, top five offense versus lefties. Last 2 weeks, batting 290, 800 OPS, and, you know, not striking out, winning in the zone, pulling the ball, elevating, 345 team expected wOBA, which probably implies like 5.75 runs for you nerds out there. So I was surprised to see this one come in at even money, or the best we can get from predatory books, even money. Minus 110 on both sides. Give me the Padres through five. I think we get this one pretty easy.
Padres first five at Citi Field today for Legace. Yeah. By the way, my favorite part of that was, so you're like Jekyll or Hyde, whichever is the good one, because I too have trouble with it. In the novel, Dr. Jekyll, a hero who is aware of the evil in his own being and sick of the duplicity in his life, succeeds by way of his experiments on himself in freeing the pure evil part of his being as Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, well, I was one a doctor, though, and another a mister,
well,
you know?
Mister,
you lose your doctorate when you switch over to Hyde?
Mister didn't go to school, apparently.
How did you remember all that?
I didn't. I just read that part.
I was trying to serve you up with some 4D, 180 IQ. You know, like, listen, you got to flash that 180 IQ every once in a while, Broseph. Man, that was incredible.
Broseph. All right. Tarek Skubal on the hill today at Minute Maid in a game that means a lot to a lot of us around here who have Astros bets in the month of June. Skubal, 20 earned runs in his last 18 starts dating back to September of 2023. His ERA is 1.92, the lowest from a Tigers pitcher over the first 13 starts of a season since 1945. What do you got here between the Tigers and the Astros?
Man, Tarek Skubal is a revelation right now. The question for us fantasy geeks coming into the season, you know, I like to focus on fantasy because I think that's where the science happens, and it kind of gives you an idea of what to expect as far as trajectory. We knew Tarek Skubal, the upside on a per inning basis as far as efficacy goes, is quite literally like the A11 type of guy, Strider type of stuff. And all you needed was the health. Right now we're getting it. So, man, this one, again, feels like a bit of a misprice. Minus 110 on both sides. It's Detroit at Houston. But like you mentioned, it's not just a 31% K, 16 swing and strike, 31 whiff, which is all kind of validated. It's elite control. I've been using ball rate. Again, one of the, you know, piece of nuance in the context when you get with my stuff. I think ball rate is a bit more predictive than walk rate. A 30% ball rate, right? The inverse is a 70% strike rate is just through the roof. So he gets ahead, induces chases, induces whiffs, then is a ground ball machine and impossible to hit home runs off of. As much as I like the Astros, I think this is the public kind of chasing the jerseys a little bit. Without Kyle Tucker, they're not quite the same. They really are just a human offense versus lefties. And while Brown has corrected course a bit, we're still talking about a guy with a 39% ball rate and a double-digit walk with the 57 first strike. So you're going to fall behind a team like Detroit. I think they get just enough done. So give me five, because again, like you mentioned, Skubal is such a tough customer. I'd be surprised if the Astros get to two. So it could be the Tigers minus 110 through 5.
Okay. Kyle Tucker was supposed to come back today, but probably not today. Hopefully for the Astros sometime this weekend. So Padres,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Padres first five, Tigers first five, which I don't like because I'm rooting for the Astros. Give us one full game play in the last 30 seconds here.
Yeah, last one. This is really easy. It's going to be, I've been calling it an inflection point on my show where we see enough of a sample where we want to buy into it, but then we have to know, are we going to revert back? It's Kevin Gausman, full game, minus 130, who's been great coming off a complete game shutout against Logan Allen with a nearly 6 ERA and 2 whip. He's been really bad. I think the Blue Jays beat the Guards at home, minus 130, full game.
John, appreciate it, man. Good luck with the bets.
Miss you, man. Have a great weekend, bro.
John Legace, everybody. The microwave. Instant offense. We'll come back. Matt Lindemann on the College World Series. Stormy Bonnetoni on the UFL Championship. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.